listen to the words of this song. It talks about the loved ones that's gone on, and since my mom and daddy died, there's not a day goes by that I don't miss them, that I don't think about them, that I don't wish I could go back. But aren't we happy and glad that God made a way? God saw long time ago what we needed, and that we have that, because of him, we have that way that we can go to see them again and go to be with them in heaven. I just thank God for that. If life could only bring again the days I took for granted, when to hear your voice was just a call away. Oh, what I'd give for just some time to say the things that slipped my mind. There's so much now I'd really like to say, but I can never go back when we did the things we did back then. I'll store those precious memories in my mind. I'll take what you've instilled in me. I'll try to be all I can and walk the path that you have left behind. I sure miss you. Life will never be the same with you not here. Each passing day has brought much pain, but with God's strength, my strength remains. I sure miss you, but heaven's sweeter with you there. The little things that seem so small are now like gold in a memory vault. I cherish every one I have of you. Now I can see and recognize the part you played to shape my life. I often see you in the things I do. In God's design and master plan, he saw the hurting hearts of man as we would say goodbye to those so dear. So with our family and friends, we'll be together once again. We'll view all heaven's splendor hand in hand. I sure miss you. Life will never be the same with you not here. Each passing day has brought much pain, but with God's grace, my strength remains. I sure miss you, but heaven's sweeter with you there.
Seems I can hardly go, but still I see victory. Sometimes I'm walking by faith and can't see what lies before me, but still I see victory. And I've just got to tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline, because I'm covered by His blood. And you may stare and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight. 'Cause remember, you can't cross the bloodline. Sometimes our battles get hot, and it seems we're fighting a lot. Oh, I remember, I'm standing on the rock. So, Satan, if I were you, I'd turn around and give up too, 'cause I do believe you're bound to lose. I just gotta tell you, Satan, you can't cross the bloodline, because I'm covered by His blood. But you're gonna lose this battle tonight, 'cause remember, you can't cross the bloodline. You may stare and you may fight, but you're gonna lose this battle tonight, 'cause remember, you can't cross the bloodline. You must you can't cross the bloodline.
Thank you. we can just go ahead and turn the service over to Jeff when we get there. Choir, come on down while they get ready to sing.
The choir folks have us out there.
I've come too far to look back again. There is nothing behind me. All the treasures I used to love have faded from view. There's a new
Bibles to the book of Acts. Amen. Acts chapter number 3, verse number 1. Reading through verse number 11. Acts chapter number 3, verse number 1. Reading through verse number 11. The arrangements for Sister Carolyn Hudson's sister is Tuesday. They're going to receive friends from 1 to 3. And the funeral will be at 3 o'clock there at Alvis Miller and Son Funeral Home. If you're able to go, you can go. And if you can't, be much in prayer for Sister Carolyn as they lay her sister to rest this coming week. Having the Bible said in Acts chapter number 3, verse number 1, reading through verse number 11. Very familiar scripture tonight, and the Lord's laid upon our heart. The Bible said, now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. The Bible says in verse number 2, the Bible said, a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Verse number 3. The Bible said, who seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask alms. And look at verse number 4. The Bible said, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Verse number 5. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Look at verse number 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of the Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Verse number 7. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. Verse number 8. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered in with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Verse number 9. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then verse number 10. And they knew it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. Verse number 11. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them into the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Look at that, said right there, verse number 11. Maybe seated. Our Heavenly Father, just as humble as I know how today, God, I pray, Lord, that you'll move Jeff. Hey, Lord, out of the way tonight, and I'd be able to come over on the holy ground. God, I know that I'm not nothing. Hey, Lord, but you're everything tonight. God, I pray, Lord, that you'll clear our mind of everything you ever thought. Hey, Lord, except preaching the word tonight. Hey, Lord, I pray, God, that you'll continue to bless the church. Hey, Lord, we ask all these things. Lord, in Jesus' name, I humbly pray. Amen and amen. Very familiar scripture tonight. Neighbor, the Lord you laid upon our heart. Neighbor, tonight, if I had a message that I want to preach on for just a little while, neighbor, on this right here, the marks of a powerful church. Amen. The marks of a powerful church. Now, we know how the Bible said that Peter and John were going to the temple. Amen. It was a powerful place, and powerful people were headed that way. Neighbor, tonight, there's thousands of churches. We see big cathedrals, and we see block buildings, and we see storefront buildings. Listen, they all meet, all sing, all preach. I go through the same routine as we do here at Morning View. Listen, neighbor, today, but it's just a building in existence. Amen. But our desire tonight, neighbor, is to have a power. Full church. Amen. Listen, neighbor, that's one that has great influence on our community, offering the gift of life. Amen. Listen, a powerful church tonight. Listen, we look at the word, power in the word of God. If you go back, neighbor, to the Greek meaning of power, listen, it comes from a word called dynamis, that we today get the word dynamite. Amen. Listen, neighbor, we know out of the power of dynamite is not within the stick. It's that is within the dynamite itself. And neighbor, that That's what the powerful church is tonight. And neighbor, it's not the actual building. Listen, neighbor, tonight it's the contents that's inside the building. And neighbor, that is you and I. So tonight the Lord is seeking and the Lord is looking for a powerful church, a group of believers. Listen, neighbor, that's got one thing on their mind. Listen, that's Jesus Christ. Neighbor, listen, neighbor, we thought about this. Listen, the power. Listen, power is a characteristic of God tonight. Listen, it sure is. Listen, and it should be shown in a powerful church. Amen. Listen, I don't know about you, but it ought to be our desire here at Morning View or any other church, neighbor, tonight in our surrounding area or listening area tonight. Listen, it's to be a powerful church. Neighbor, tonight to be on fire for God. To be about the Father's business. That's why he said, work while it's day, for nighttime cometh when no man shall work. He said, look upon the fields. They're already white for harvest, but the laborers are few. Neighbor, we need workers in the vineyard, in the vineyard of the Lord. Neighbor, we want Morning View to be a powerful church. Listen, the marks of a Christian, the marks of a powerful Christian tonight, and neighbor, it starts individually. Listen, like I said tonight, this building, listen, it'll be here when you and I are gone. But that indwells among me and you, listen, we have an opportunity today to win the lost to the Lord. Listen, redeem those that are backslid. Neighbor, draw closer to the Lord. Neighbor, tonight, but my heart's desire is that we have a powerful church. But in order to have a powerful church, we have to break it on down to an individual basis and say, Lord, I desire to be a powerful Christian. Listen, to be Christ-like. That ought to be our desire tonight. But three things tonight that we see here that took place when Peter and John, neighbor, was going to the house of God that day. Listen, and something happened on the way. Listen, neighbor, today. Listen, I see three things. And I noticed out of Peter and John and the people here as they were headed to the temple. Listen, neighbor, today. Listen, I thought about number one. Listen, they seen and they had a concern. Amen. Listen, neighbor, listen, they had a concern for one individual. Neighbor, we can have a concern for many. We can have a concern for a lost and dying world. But it starts with that one. The Bible said Peter and John, neighbor, were going up to the temple that day, just like they had time and time before. You can read over in the scriptures, this young man was of 40-something years. Neighbor, that he had been took to this gate. Listen, to this temple. Listen, begging alms. Listen, seeking something. Neighbor, for a natural survival. Listen, and the Bible said on this day, and the Bible said Peter and John were headed to the temple. And the Bible said Peter, listen, fastened his eyes, neighbor, upon this man here. And that word fastening right here really means he began to stare at him. Listen, he caught his attention. Listen, and he began to look at him. Listen, neighbor, and Peter was concerned, neighbor, about this one individual. Neighbor, and that's what we need to be tonight. We got lost men, women, boys, and girls. Neighbor, they're dying and going to hell. Neighbor, you know what we need tonight? We need a generation that is concerned. Listen, about their soul and concerned about their well-being tonight. Listen, Amy, listen here. This young man, his mother brought him every day, neighbor, to the temple, asking alms. Listen, Peter looked upon him and John, and they said, young man, look upon us. Listen, look at us. Look upon us. Neighbor, that's what we need. I tell the world tonight, they're searching and they're seeking. They're looking. Neighbor, in all the wrong places to find hope. They're looking in the wrong places. Neighbor, to find peace. They're looking in the wrong places to find that happiness. We need to be like Peter and John and tell the world tonight, look at us, for I know the way, the way that's called straight, the way of peace, the way of joy, the way of happiness. And neighbor, it all starts when we're concerned for a generation today. I'm afraid a lot of times we've done given up on them. I'm afraid a lot of times we done got it in our head and done got it in our mind. Nobody else is going to be saved. This young man had been there for 40 years. No doubt they'd done walk by him time and time again. But this day there was something that caught Peter's eyes. He told him, he said, hey, look upon us. And the young man was desiring alms. He thought they was fixing to pull out some money or pull out some coins. But they were like the rest of us. Peter and John said, silver and gold have we none. Silver and gold have we none. He said, but such as I have, I'll give unto thee. In the name of the Lord, rise up and walk. And the Bible said that immediately he rose up and walked. But it all started when Peter and John showed concernment for this young man. They were concerned. The power of the marks of a powerful church, number one, is they're concerned. They're concerned about this generation, or they're concerned about that generation. They're concerned about the lost people. They're concerned about people that have fell out of fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. There was a concernment. I'm talking about genuine. I'm not talking about being nosy. I'm talking about being concerned. They were concerned. Peter and John said, hey, look on us. We have the gift that you need. We have that you need tonight. Silver and gold, we don't have. Silver and gold, we don't have. You're going to leave here, amen, with as amount of money as you got, but you'll leave here walking and leaping because what we have is the opportunity that you've been missing. Peter and John said, look on us. Look upon us. For what we have is what you need. The Bible said Peter reached out his hand and he took the man that was lame from his mother's birth and all these years, and he showed that concernment. And the marks of a powerful church tonight is one that is concerned about their community, is concerned about their country, is concerned about their churches tonight. Amen. I'm afraid too many folks tonight are just satisfied. They're just satisfied. We, you know, especially as blessed as we've been. Amen. It's easy to just kind of get at ease and zine and say, well, we've got everything we need. God's blessing us in every direction. And we lose that concernment. We lose that concernment. But see, that concernment, Brother Dennis, is a mark of a powerful church. It's a mark of a powerful church that the world is looking for someone, somewhere to be concerned. Concerned. We must show concern. If we're going to ever win the lost, we must show a concernment. We got to show a concernment that we bring them into the house of God. We invite them. We pray for them. And we offer them that we have. Amen. Oh, we don't want to be hoggish about this thing. We want to share it. Amen. Amen. Concernment. But we see that this is one of the key ingredients to a powerful church. And this is what Peter and John was belonging to and going to. They were going to this temple. This temple was powerful in that day. But it was not because of the size or anything like this, but it's because this temple, this church had a concernment for people. And Peter and John go into this temple, said, I've got a concernment for you. Preacher, how do you know that church was concerned? How do you know that temple was concerned about people? Because Peter and John belonged there, and they were concerned. That's how people know Morning View Baptist Church is concerned about a lost and dying world. It's not anything that can fasten their eyes upon me or something like that, but it's when we show that concernment for a generation of people out there today. The marks of a powerful church. Don't you want to be a powerful church tonight? Don't you want to be a powerful, a dynamite church that's on fire for God and seeing souls saved and being added to daily just like it was? You imagine they got the preaching over there one time and the Bible said he added over 3,000 souls in one day. Man, that's a lot of folks, ain't it? And a few scriptures below there, there was 5,000 more. Man, you imagine just over a period of time. I don't know where we'd put them, but we'd put them somewhere. I'm scared of heights, so I'm not getting up on top of the roof and preach. But I'll stand up here and they can get in the highway. Amen. But it all starts because somebody shows concern. Somebody shows concernment. And we need to show that to the lost people, that we're concerned about them. Not that we're judgmental, Brother Harold. Not that we're throwing stones. Not that we're doing this or that. But Brother Gary, we just need to show, hey, we're concerned. What I'm concerned about is your soul. I'm concerned about your soul. That when you leave the walks of this life, to know that everything is all right between you and the Lord. Listen, neighbor, today, hey, we ought to have a church that is concerned about one another. That is concerned. Concernment, concern. We see that as a mark of a powerful church. Peter and John said, silver and gold have a none, but look on us. We have the keys to eternal life. Look on us. We're concerned for you. He reached out and he helped this man. That's what we need to do today. We need to lend a hand, a helping hand to a lost and dying world. To people that have dropped out of church houses. We're living in a time where churches are dropping off by the multitudes. People have lost their desire to go to God's house. But we ought to show a concernment. Are we concerned? If we're ever officer of this church, whatever capacity you got, from the pastor to the pew, we ought to have a concern. We want to have a concern about each other and a concern about the church and concern about our surrounding. Why? Because that's the marks of a powerful church. Now, we can come and we can go through the motion and we can, hey, man, listen, we can sing the songs, a preacher can preach, and we can all go home, and sooner or later we'll all die and the church will close. A church that's not concerned is a dying church. It's a dying church. We was coming home yesterday, and we was coming back through Carrollton, and we went to this pizza place to eat, and pulled out of the parking lot there, and there's a big old church. Man, that thing's huge. You could probably set this one down in it, but out in front of it, and I don't know the circumstance. They may have outgrown it. I don't know, but Brother Harold, there was a big old for sale sign. It said, all church buildings and land for sale. Ain't that awful? Man, I didn't even like to look at it. I thought, oh, my goodness. And then you know something today? That could happen at 191 Clarkwood Road if we lose that concernment today. That concernment. Boy, we got to be concerned. We got to be concerned. Peter and John, this young man was healed. And listen, from that day forward, he went into the temple and rejoiced and praised God in all his glory. But it all started, Brother Greg, because somebody was concerned. It all started because somebody was concerned. Concernment is a mark to a powerful church. And then number two, not only do we see that they were concerned, but notice something about these Peter and John and the people that was going to the temple that day, and all the people of that day, they were consumed. They were consumed with the name of Jesus Christ. They were consumed with the power of God. Man, they just wanted to talk about the Lord. They wanted to shout about the Lord. There's so many today that they're not consumed with it. They've got just a dose to really sometimes make them miserable. But when we're consumed with the power and the authority of the name of Jesus Christ, of how good he is to you and I, when we're consumed with Christ, that's the marks of a great church. That's the marks of a powerful church. When you hear about Jesus, they sing about Jesus, they teach about Jesus, it gets them excited. They're excited about the name Jesus Christ, which is above every name. It's a mark of a powerful church. They're a dynamite church. We're liable to explode at any moment. From the power of God. From the power of God. Thank God for the power that we have here at our church, and we can feel his presence among us. And listen, we're consumed. Hey, what is our motto here that there's been songs wrote about? And listen, and other people have grabbed a hold of it, but our motto is it's got to be all about him. Amen. Why? Because we're consumed with Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm consumed with Jesus Christ. I think the reason a lot of people want to go to heaven is because all they think about is they're going to get a bigger house. They think about the mansion, and a lot of people think, well, we're going to have golden streets to walk on and the river of life and all that. And that's good and great, and all that's going to be real, and I can't wait to get there. But I want to tell you something. I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. I want to see the one that went to Calvary and gave me the opportunity of a lifetime to know him as my Savior, to know him as my Redeemer. And listen, the mark of a powerful church and the mark of a powerful Christian is when they're consumed with Jesus Christ. They may call us a holy roller. They may call you fanatic. They may call you anything, but I'd rather be anything with the Lord. Be the most successful thing and be with the devil. Consumed. Peter and John was consumed. They said, don't look upon us. Silver and gold have we none. But what we've got, we'll give it to you. They had Jesus. They had the anointing power of the Lord Jesus Christ upon them. Being consumed. They were consumed with the name of Christ. We must give over to the love of Christ. To be consumed by something means you gave over to that. And that's what we need to do today and tonight, is we need to just give our life over to God. We need to give our life over to God. We need to give our church over to God. We need to give our singers over to God. We need to give our preachers, our pastor, we need to give them over to God and pray for them and support them and say, Lord, let them be consumed with you. Every day, I want to think about his love. I want to think about his grace. I want to think about his mercy. I want to be consumed from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. Why? Because this is the marks of a powerful Christian. And in order to have a powerful church, it'll start when each individual gets that God will have them do tonight. Amen. The marks of a powerful church. Look at Philippians chapter number 1 and verse number 21. Consumed. It's like this, and then I'll read that scripture. Have you ever going to have a cookout and you put them briskets, ain't that what you call them? Charcoal? I call it charcoal. I know there's a fancier name for that. Maybe it's brisket, something like that. Is that right, Gary? I knew you. When I need fancy answers, I come to you. But I'll just say charcoal is easier. But you know, you take that charcoal and you put it in that grill. I don't like gas grills. I like the old fashioned charcoal. Just tastes better. But you put that charcoal in there, and you put that match, and that match starts out with one, And before you know it, that fire has went from one, Brother Raymond, over to another. And it's went over to another. And it's went over to another. Then all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, that fire has done what? It's consumed every one of them. See, if we could ever get one. If we could ever get one. That's why I like to watch Brother Matt in the choir. Amen. See, he's like a charcoal brisket up there. Sometimes that thing will get to smoking, and I'll watch it. It start getting down through there. Amen. It's spread. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. There's some folk just needs a good dose of the Holy Ghost, don't they? Amen. Amen. It'll work for what ails you. But allow it to consume them. Allow it to consume. We're consumed with the name of Jesus Christ. We're consumed. See, that's the mark of a powerful church. And that's the mark of a powerful Christian. It's when they're concerned about lost in that world. And they allow the Holy Spirit to consume them. Amen. We're consumed. Consumed. Well, we've left here a lot of times. You look back and it looks a little foggy. Amen. Preacher, I ain't never saw it. Well, you ain't never been consumed. Amen. Brother Gary, there's been times I've looked down, I couldn't even see nobody. Man, all I see is the power and anointing of God. Consumed. Consumed. Amen. Thank God. My grand boys, they'll come out in the house. You know, we got a swimming pool. Right now, the water got leaked somewhere. Don't know where it's at. But, you know, I'll go out there when we're going to get in it, and I'll put my foot in it, and I'll get out of it. Put my foot in it. Yeah, I can't, man, it's too cold. But you know what they'll do? They'll come out there and they just, amen. They just allow that water to consume their whole body immediately. That's what we need to do every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. Hey, we're a powerful church. Let's allow the Lord to consume us in His glory tonight. That's the marks of a powerful church and a powerful Christian is we allow our life to be consumed with Him. Be consumed with Him. Listen, listen to what he says here in Philippians. Boy, he's talking about being consumed, right? He said, for me to live is Christ. For me to live is Christ. And to die is gain. Is gain. Listen, Brother Johnny and Joyce's brother, you know, he had a heart attack out in Orlando, and Johnny called me, and he was requesting prayer, and Johnny said, Charles said this, and he's a great man of God, great preacher. Johnny said this. Johnny said, Charles said, hey, I'm a winner either way. Amen. I'm a winner either way. If this is what's going to take me out, so be it. Amen. Like what I say the preacher said, don't tempt me with going to heaven. Amen. Amen. Why? Because I'm consumed with the authority of the word and the power and the anointing that he has today. Be totally consumed. When somebody's consumed, they're not content with the things of this world. They want more of God. Amen. He said, for me to live is Christ and die is gain. That don't make a bit of sense in the world how somebody can say that. But it takes somebody that is consumed. That's the marks of a powerful Christian. Somebody that's not worried about their salvation. Somebody that's not worried about this life. Somebody that's not worried about what they're going to do or not going to do. But all their mind and thinking about is the Lord Jesus Christ. Marks of a powerful church starts with a powerful Christian. Number one, being concerned, and number two, being consumed. Consumed, we must give over to the love of Christ, His presence, and His righteousness. We must give over to that. Allow those three things to consume our life. Allow that to flood our soul. Then we can see mountains moved, and we can see victories won, and we can see overcoming battles that we face in our life. Then number three, the marks of a powerful church. Number one, Peter and John, when they went to the temple, they were concerned about this young man. Here he had and laid there lame. The Bible said Peter began to stare at him. He fastened his eye. You ever had anything just catch your eye? And you start dwelling on it. That's what happened here. He started looking at this man. And he realized this man had a need beyond silver and gold. He realized this man had a physical need that God could help. Number three today, not only does it mark a powerful church, it takes concernment and it's allowed consumed, but we see that third one as it takes commitment. To be a powerful church, to be one, listen, it's like a ball game. Anybody can be lucky every once in a while. Anybody can have a good service every once in a while. But to be a powerful church and the anointing of God's power to be there year after year after year after year, generation after generation, it takes commitment. It takes commitment. It takes being dedicated. It takes being separated. It takes being called and the anointing power of Lord Jesus Christ tonight. It takes commitment. With every fiber of our being should be committed. Jeremiah 45 and verse number 5. Look at what he says, talking about being committed to Christ. To be a powerful Christian, and I'm just going to tell you the truth, and I'm just going to preach you the truth tonight. It's hard to be a powerful Christian when you're just a part-time. Amen. You can't, you know that little spare tire you got up under your car? It looks like, call it a donut. Amen, that little bitty thing. So you can't run that on your car all the time. And see, that's the way a lot of people's life is with Christ. They're trying to run with that little donut on their life. And they wonder why the road is so bumpy, and they wonder why it don't last forever. Amen. If we want to be a powerful Christian, it's going to take commitment. It's going to take 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Amen. Being committed. Brother Stevie, committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. It ought to be our desire to be a powerful Christian in order for us to be a powerful church. Peter and John said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I'll give it to you. They were concerned. But the reason they had the anointing power of God was because they were committed to him. And because they had a commitment to him, with every fiber there be. Jeremiah 45, verse number 5, he said, and seekest thou great things for thyself. Seek great things for thyself. Seek them not, for behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, said the Lord. But thy life will I give unto thee for a prey in all places, whether thou goest. Look at what the Bible said in Psalms 115 and verse number 1, talking about being a commitment, committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, that we'd be a powerful vessel, that God would use us in sincerity and in truth. It takes commitment. It takes commitment. Look at what he said. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory. For thy mercy and for the truth's sake. Let's give the glory to where it goes. It goes to God. Amen. The marks of a powerful church and the marks of a powerful Christian. Listen, neighbor, tonight. The power in this reading was in Christ. The power, and I want you to get this, the power was in Christ. But Peter had to reach out his hand. Peter had to reach out his hand. The anointing was there. The power was there. But it took Peter reaching his hand, showing that concern, showing that commitment. Hey, allow me to give you what I've got. Silver and gold have I none. but such as I have, I'll give unto thee. Amen. We allow Jesus to be the power. All we've got to do is reach our hand out. All we got to do is reach our hand out, Olivia, and God will bless us, and God will use us in a powerful way tonight. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee. This young man, the Bible said, leaped up, run into the temple, was singing, shouting, praising. They said, hey, said, is this not the man that was laying out there? I said, oh, that's him. That's him. I want to be a powerful church. But I know that in order to be a powerful church, we've got to be a powerful Christian. And it starts with not my brother and not my sister, but it starts with me, oh Lord, being in the center of God's will. I wonder tonight, are you satisfied with where you're at? Are we still concerned for a lost and dying world? Are we still consumed with the anointing of Jesus Christ? Do we still have that commitment that we want to serve him daily on a daily basis? Not just something we pick up on Sunday morning, but something we strive every day for. I wonder about that tonight. We're going to ask Brother Herman to come on with a verse of a song. The marks of a powerful church. Number one, they showed concern. They were concerned. Number two, they were consumed with Jesus Christ. Just give the world Jesus. And then they had a commitment about them. A commitment. You know, getting people to be committed is hard. It is. It is hard. It's hard to get people to be totally committed. You know, I don't get this. You watch, any of you ever watch Green Bay football, Green Bay Packers football? I've always liked Green Bay. But Green Bay Packers football, listen, they told me that the season tickets out there used to, I don't know how it is now, but went from generation to generation. They didn't get rid of them. You're talking of below zero weather. You're talking about blizzard conditions. You're talking about being outdoors in a blizzard, standing there for 4 hours hollering for a ball game. And I have to struggle to get people to come to two services on Sunday, especially Wednesday. But you know why, preacher? Because they're not consumed with it. I didn't say they were lost. Peggy, they're not consumed. When you're consumed with it, you'll have a desire. What about it tonight while we sing?
Along this winding road to the old familiar marker of the mercies I have known. I know it may sound simple, but it's more than
God's been good to me.